Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
Hello, and thank you for your company. In this study, we will explore the last verses of Acts chapter 21 and then progress into chapter 22. If that is possible, I would like to encourage you to open your Bible and follow the readings. For a better comprehension, let us consider the context in which we are operating. At this point in time, the Apostle Paul reached the end of his third missionary journey. He found himself in Jerusalem, in the temple area. He was charged of speaking against the Jews, the law, and the temple. The crowd came running from all directions, seized Paul, and dragged him from the temple. Paul was about to be killed when the tribune or commander of the Roman troops intervened. The commander ordered his soldiers to arrest Paul and to take him to the barracks. The continuation of the story is told in Acts chapter 21, verses 37 to 39. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." Paul asked permission to the commander to address the crowd. That was his opportunity to defend himself and to give witness to Christ. Paul spoke in Greek, which surprised the commander. The crowd was probably shouting in Aramaic. Hearing Paul speaking Greek, the commander mistook Paul. He thought Paul was the Egyptian who started a revolt and led 4,000 terrorists out into the wilderness. Some years earlier, a false Egyptian prophet led 4,000 troops against the Romans at Jerusalem, promising that the walls of the city would fall simply because of his presence. The Romans crushed the revolt, but the Egyptian escaped. To clarify matters, Paul spelled out his identity, stating that he was not an Egyptian, but a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia. Paul asked permission to speak to the people. Permission was granted. What did Paul say to the people? Let us find out in Acts chapter 21, verse 40, and the first five verses of chapter 22. "And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, 'Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you.' And when they heard that he was addressing them in the Hebrew language, they became even more quiet. And he said, 'I am a Jew born in Tarsus in Cilicia, but brought up in this city, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed towards Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished." Paul spoke to the crowd in Hebrew, or perhaps Aramaic, which was the common language of Judea. Paul identified himself with the crowd speaking their language and calling them brothers and fathers. Paul expressed his kinship with the angry Jews. The people became very quiet, making it possible to listen to Paul. In his speech, Paul gave a summary of his life history, emphasizing how God brought him to the Christian faith and made him an apostle to the Gentiles. In any relationship, especially when emotions run high, it is very important for us to identify ourselves and to sympathize with the people we are dealing with. Attacking, judging, and throwing out harsh words break people further apart instead of bringing them together. Scripture advises us to speak the truth in love. First of all, Paul said that he was a Jew like the people of the crowd. Though born in Tarsus, today Turkey, he came to Jerusalem at an early age and was educated under Gamaliel, a renowned rabbi, who trained Paul thoroughly in the law of the fathers and made of him a zealous Pharisee. Paul referred to his past as a persecutor of the followers of the Way, that is, Christ. Paul did not hide his past, but confessed his violent and cruel actions. He was guilty of the arrest and death of many Christians, going as far as Damascus to bring prisoners to Jerusalem. There were plenty of people who could give witness to Paul's actions, including the high priest and all the council. God, however, turned Paul's life around. In the continuation of his speech, Paul explains his conversion. We read in Acts chapter 22, verses 6 to 16. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus, about noon a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And I answered, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said to me, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, "What shall I do, Lord?" And the Lord said to me, "Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do." And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and, standing by me, said to me, "Brother Saul, receive your sight." And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, "The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one, and to bear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." On the way to Damascus, about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around Paul. The natural brightness of the day did not detract from the supernatural brightness, as a voice addressed Paul by his original name, Saul, and asked why he was persecuting the one speaking. Paul asked for the identity of the voice. "Who are you, Lord?" The answer came, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." The answer couldn't be clearer. The Lord identified himself. Although Paul's traveling companions heard the voice, they did not understand what the voice said. Then the Lord gave Paul direction where to go, namely to Damascus, where he would be told more about his assignment. Because Paul was blinded by the brilliance of the light, his companions led him by hand to Damascus. Friends are always essential in our lives, particularly in situations of need. I am sure you have been helped by friends in occasions when your burden was too heavy to carry it alone. Be aware of people around you who may need a hand from you. Someone who is ill, an elderly person who is living alone, a neighbor who lost his or her job, and so on. Writing to the Christians of Galatia, the apostle advises, "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. In Damascus, Paul was helped by Ananias, who came to see him. The noble traits of Ananias are emphasized. He was a devout man and well spoken of by all the Jews. God used Ananias as his instrument to restore Paul's sight and to reveal to him that he was appointed to know God's will, to see the Righteous One, and to hear words from his mouth. The Righteous One is a title for the Messiah, who appeared to Paul was the risen Lord. Paul saw the Lord who overcame death, the living Lord. It was that experience that convinced Paul of the truth of the gospel and that became the foundation of his theology. The risen Lord appointed Paul to be his witness. Like the other apostles, Paul could testify that he had seen the risen Lord. Then Paul was baptized to wash his sins away. Can you identify in any way with Paul? We may not have experienced such a dramatic turnaround in our lives as Paul did, but the Holy Spirit has certainly worked in our hearts through baptism and the gospel of Jesus Christ. In His mercy, God called us from darkness to light, granting us faith, forgiveness of sins, and a new heart. Restored to life, we now bear witness to Jesus and serve Him and our neighbor in our daily vocations.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere and newcomers are always welcome.
Paul goes on telling his life history to the audience. Acts chapter 22, verses 17 to 21 report the following. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw him saying to me, "Make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me." And I said, "Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him." And he said to me, "Go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Paul described a vision he had when he went to Jerusalem 3 years later after being converted. He fell into a trance, an inspired dream, and saw the Lord telling him to leave Jerusalem immediately because his testimony about Jesus was being rejected. Paul tried to contra-argue, referring to his past actions, which were well known in Jerusalem. The Lord, however, insisted with Paul, "Go, and I will send you far away to the Gentiles." Paul had been chosen to be the apostle to the Gentiles. While Jews were rejecting the gospel, the same gospel was being taken to the Gentiles. Once Paul mentioned the Gentiles, the mood of the audience changed. This is what we read in Acts chapter 22, verses 22 to 29. Up to this word they listened to him. Then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he should not be allowed to live." And as they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the tribune ordered him to be brought into the barracks, saying that he should be examined by flogging to find out what they were shouting against him like this. But when they had stretched him out for the whips, Paul said to the centurion who was standing by, "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard this, he went to the tribune and said to him, "What are you about to do? For this man is a Roman citizen." So the tribune came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman citizen?" And he said, "Yes." The tribune answered, "I bought this citizenship for a large sum." Paul said, "But I am a citizen by birth." So those who were about to examine him withdrew from him immediately, and the tribune also was afraid, for he realized that Paul was a Roman citizen and that he had bound him. Till that point, the people listened to Paul, but when he mentioned that he was an apostle to the Gentiles, the crowds became furious and wanted him to be put to death. They were ready to stone Paul on the spot. Since Paul was at risk, the commander ordered Paul to be taken into the barracks to be flogged and questioned in order to find out why the people were shouting at him. The flogging was generally done with the scourge, a merciless instrument of torture. The scourge consisted of a whip of leather thongs with pieces of bone or metal attached to the ends. Such a method of interrogation was commonly used when slaves and foreigners were involved, but it never would be applied to a Roman citizen. Paul was stretched out to be flogged. A prisoner being flogged was stripped to the waist and forced to bend over a low pillar with his feet and hands secured to the floor. When this kind of torture was about to happen, Paul asked a decisive question to the centurion. "Is it lawful for you to flog a man who is a Roman citizen and uncondemned?" According to Roman law, all Roman citizens were assured exclusion from all degrading forms of punishment, such as beating with rods, scourging, and crucifixion. Paul's mention that he was a Roman citizen came as a shock. The centurion reported to the commander, and the commander asked Paul whether it was the case. Paul said, "Yes, I'm a Roman citizen." Apparently, in those days, there was no need to produce documents to prove identity. The spoken word sufficed. The commander said that he had to pay much money to get a Roman citizenship. Paul, on the other hand, was born a Roman citizen. There were three ways to obtain Roman citizenship. 1. To receive it as a reward for some outstanding service to Rome. 2. To buy it at a considerable price. 3. To be born into a family of Roman citizens. The commander doubted that a man such as Paul had the means to purchase a Roman citizenship, as he himself had done. Paul was a born Roman citizen. How Paul's father or an earlier ancestor had gained citizenship, we cannot determine. As the events unfolded, the commander was afraid because he had allowed something illegal to be done to Paul, and it could put him in trouble. In the next study, we will speak about the following events in Paul's life. For now, we would like to acknowledge God's purpose in bringing the message of salvation in Christ to Jews, to Gentiles, and to all nations. Therefore, the Lord chose apostles, including Paul, prepared and sent them out to the fields. The task of the messengers has been very tough, but God made them strong and bold to speak and to give testimony even when their lives were at the highest stake. We give thanks to God for Paul and his ministry. We give thanks to God for all the missionaries who throughout the centuries proclaimed Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God for reaching out to us and bringing us to faith. We also pray that God may protect and enable his messengers nowadays so that the gospel may reach all the places of the globe. At the same time, we are called to support mission efforts with our own work, with our prayers, and our offerings. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.